السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين فاتقوا الله ما استطعتم واسمعوا واطيعوا وانفقوا خيرا لانفسكم ومن يوق شح نفسه فاولئك هم المفلحون إن تقرضوا الله قرضا حسنا يضاعفه لكم ويغفر لكم والله شكور حليم بس اللہ کا تقوی اختیار کرو جس حد تک تمہیں توفیق ہے اور سنو اور اطاعت کرو اور خرچ کرو یہ تمہارے لیے بہتر ہوگا اور جو نفس کی کنجوسی سے بچائے جائیں تو یہی ہیں وہ لوگ جو کامیاب ہونے والے ہیں.
So fear Allah as best as you can and listen and obey and spend in His cause. It will be good for yourselves. And whoso is rid of the covetousness of his own soul, it is such who shall be successful. If you lend to Allah a good loan, He will multiply it for you, and will forgive you, and Allah is most appreciating forbearing. As it is apparent from this verse, Allah the Almighty is directing the attention of the believers to adopt righteousness, and through complete and perfect obedience to comply with the commandments of Allah. Out of the numerous commandments of Allah the Almighty, one important commandment is to spend in His way. Hence, a believer should neither show reluctance nor hesitation when offering financial sacrifice. Because this financial sacrifice by the believers, by the mu'mineen, is for a noble and pious endeavor. Today it is the Jamaat of the Promised Messiah, on whom be peace, which is the only community that spends and desires to spend in the way of Allah towards the success of noble objectives in order to seek God's pleasure. There is tabligh of Islam, the propagation of the message of Islam, preparation of missionaries for the field, publication of literature as well as the publication of the Holy Quran. There is the construction of mosques, the building of mission houses, the establishment of schools, the setting up of radio stations in various countries where religious education will be disseminated. There is the establishment of hospitals and also other projects to serve humanity. In short, there are various types of actions that relate to the fulfillment of the rights due to Allah, Haqooq Allah, and the rights due to His creation, Haqooq al-Ibad. Which are being performed today in the world only by the Ahmadiyya Muslim Jamaat in accordance with true Islamic teachings. This is because we have accepted the Imam of the age and we have understood the essence and spirit of these affairs. We are those who have safeguarded ourselves from covetousness of the soul and understood and perceived the meaning of joining the people who are included amongst the muflihun. This does not only mean to be successful, rather, it has a broader meaning and also infers that those who are well off. It also means a large and vast scope. Its meaning and detail is far beyond just success. It is of those who are well off, who are successful, and who are prosperous. They are those who fulfill their righteous desires, and they desire to live a pleasurable life. Such a life which is for the sake of attaining Allah the Almighty's acceptance. Their lives come under the protection of Allah. Their being well off and prosperous and these blessings of God remain eternal. They have achieved tranquility by the grace of Allah the Almighty. Allah's grace constantly descends upon them, both in this world and also in the hereafter. Hence, those who attain success and prosperity from God the Almighty find that the success is not limited. Instead, as I have stated, their success is unlimited in its scope. Therefore, how fortunate are those who attain this type of success? Then Allah the Almighty says about those who spend in the way of Allah that they are not only asked to spend, instead those who spend, this becomes a means and source of their prosperity. Allah the Almighty does not remain indebted to anyone. He always returns abundantly. Allah the Almighty looks at your financial sacrifice so benevolently and appreciates it as if you have given God the Almighty a qarz-e hasana, a good loan. When it is a time to return the loan, Allah the Almighty increases and returns it manifold. And not only this, Allah the Almighty says that due to this sacrifice of yours, He will pardon your sins. Not only will He pardon your sins, but in fact He will enable you to do good deeds in the future. Hence, one cannot even imagine Allah the Almighty's appreciation. Some details of this appreciation has been mentioned in the explanation of the word muflihun. So therefore, how fortunate are those who benefit from the blessings of Allah in this way. And as I have stated, in the world today, only Ahmadis have true insight and understanding into the meaning of spending in the way of Allah. For this reason, it is only Ahmadis who are benefiting from this blessing. These are not only verbal claims or stories. Rather, there are hundreds and indeed thousands of examples that come to my attention every so often. Those who offer financial sacrifices and write in relation to it, are offering sacrifices with great fervor. If they did not have true insight into financial sacrifice or spending in the way of Allah, then how could anyone offer financial sacrifice with such fervor? And not only this, there are many who experience immediately after offering the financial sacrifice how Allah the Almighty rewards them in return abundantly. This loving approach from Allah the Almighty has such a profound effect on them that they then spend the wealth which was multiplied by Allah's grace again in His way. In this manner, they become recipients of grace financially, and they also attain beneficence in other ways also. There are many incidents narrated by Ahmadis in a very emotional manner of how Allah the Almighty bestowed His grace and blessings upon them, how they were enabled to offer sacrifice, and they received a share of Allah the Almighty's bounties and grace which was beyond their expectations. I will present some of these accounts before you now. Our missionary from Benin writes that Salman Sahib, an old man from the city of Cotonou, was financially in a very weak state. He did not even have the means to pay 1500 sifa for a round trip to the Jalsa Salana Benin in December. When emphasis was laid to him to attend the Jalsa, he nonetheless arranged, after trying hard, to pay one-way fare for the journey, and he eventually arrived at the Jalsa Gah. However, he did not have enough to pay for the return fare. Thus, something had to be arranged for him. He returned home after the Jalsa Salana, and 4 or 5 days later, the Waqf-e Jadid representatives went to his house to collect chanda. They informs him that you have pending payments for Waqf-e Jadid as promised by you. With great happiness and joy, Hoju Salman Sahib welcomed them in his house. He went inside after hearing about the Waqf-e Jadid chanda. He brought 6,000 franc sifa and handed it over. The person writing this account says, according to this person's capacity, this was a huge amount. Upon this, Shahud Sahib, the Tehreek-e Jadid representative, got very emotional, and he said that maybe you should give a smaller amount and not give this big amount. You should keep some for your children, because this is more than what you can afford. He replied that when God has granted me this amount of money, then why should I not spend it in His way? This is not my money, it is in fact an emanat, a trust of Allah the Almighty. I did not even have enough money to go to the Jalsa. I arranged for the one-way fare with great difficulty. Upon my return, Allah the Almighty has rewarded me so much so that I am ready to spend this money joyfully in His way. He further said that, come back in 2 days, and I will give you more money towards this chanda. After 2 days, he paid another 2,000 franc sifa. Then our missionary from Tunisia writes that a new Ahmadi, Ahmad Manope Sahib from a region there, had accepted Ahmadiyya 2 years ago. He has mentioned repeatedly that I have witnessed that whatever we spend for Waqf-e-Jadeed and Tehreek-e-Jadeed schemes, Allah the Almighty returns it to us manifold. Before joining the Jamaat, we didn't know where the money was being spent. But ever since we have joined the Jamaat and started paying chanda, we experience satisfaction of the heart and our financial condition has improved immensely. Then a missionary from Burundi writes about Abu Bakr Sahib, a new convert who is very poor. He survives on a meager salary. He also helps his parents and supports them. So he says that when I went to him in relation to Chanda Waqf-e-Jadeed, he paid some amount immediately. And he said that his father was very ill as a result of some wounds on his feet. He had been treated quite a lot in the hospital for 3 months, and they also had tried herbal medicine. He said now the doctors are considering amputating his foot as there is no other alternative. The missionary writes that after 2 weeks, Abu Bakr Sahib came for the Friday prayers, and immediately he paid his remaining Waqf-e-Jadeed chanda. Afterwards, he thanked me with immense sincerity and said that when I paid a small amount for Waqf-e-Jadeed, since he had paid some amount earlier, so he said, due to its blessings, my employer raised my salary where I used to work. An even greater blessing was that my father also started feeling better. He used to walk with the support of a walking stick, and now he had started walking without any support, and this is all due to paying chanda. Then he said that do let me know what my chanda arm, my regular chanda payment should be according to my income, so I can start paying it regularly. Then from the Lindi region in Tanzania, our missionary states, actually it is Salmani Sahib himself, who writes that, I am a shopkeeper. Last year my business was at loss, but I did not let this affect my pledges for Tehreek-e-Jadeed and Waqf-e-Jadeed. I paid a lot more than I had pledged during the month of Ramadan in order to partake from the prayer of Hadrat Khalifatul Masih and remove myself from this financial slump. At that time, by the grace of Allah the Almighty, I had a shop, and even that was on a decline. Allah the Almighty blessed my chanda so much so that now I have 2 shops. So Allah says that He does not keep, rather He returns in abundance. Then there is a new convert from Tanzania, Shongwe Zuberi Sahib from the Mtwara region. He says that I joined the Jamaat, but then I left. Then I returned by the efforts of the local missionary. When I was outside the system of the Jamaat, getting by was very difficult. Every day I would be at loss. I had a small business, I had a cycle, on which I used to place pottery for sale. Sometimes nothing would sell for the entire day. But ever since I have entered the system of the Jamaat and started paying chanda for various schemes, my economic circumstances transformed in just a very short space of time. So by paying chanda, Allah has blessed me so much so that now I have purchased a motorcycle instead of a cycle, and I am in a much better state than before. A missionary from Congo, Brazzaville, writes that an impoverished Ahmadi friend, Alepa Saiba, does labor work. Every month he pays chanda regularly. When we made an announcement for Vakfejeri Chanda, he says, I had only 2,000 franc sifa. I was not able to find work anywhere. I went to the mosque and offered to Nawafil, that is voluntary prayers. He is a very poor Ahmadi. And this Ahmadi says that he ordered 2 Nawafil and he handed over that 2,000 franc sifa to the president of the Jamaat. In the evening, he says, someone sent me 20,000 franc sifa for the labor I had done some time ago, but which he had not paid me. He says that I believe that it was a blessing of Chanda that God the Almighty caused him to feel compelled to make payment to me. And in this way, Allah the Almighty recompensed by increasing it 10 times. Then a missionary from Benin writes that Kande Sahib is an Ahmadi there from the Gugunu Jamaat. He has accepted Ahmadiyyat recently and started paying Chanda immediately. He feels an exceptional transformation from within. When Vakfiri Chanda was collected from him this time around, he paid eagerly and said, ever since I started to pay the Chanda, by the grace of Allah the Almighty, my business is flourishing, my affairs are being extraordinarily blessed. I believe that all of this is the blessing of accepting Ahmadiyyat and paying Chanda. Then there is a missionary who writes about Haji Shekhu Sahib from the Kenema region in Sierra Leone. He said that I used to pay Vakfejeri Chanda before on behalf of my children. But this time I told my daughter to make a pledge and pay from her pocket all by herself. When Secretary Sahib Waqf-e Jadid went there to take pledges for Waqf-e Jadid, then Dr. Sahib, Dr. Haji Shekhu Sahib, asked her daughter to herself make a pledge. The daughter said that she will pay 10,000 leone. Dr. Sahib says that I thought that probably she will pledge something like 3,000 to 4,000, but when his daughter said 10,000, her mother said, how will you make this payment of such a large amount of money? So Dr. Sahib held back his wife and asked her to remain silent, saying that the daughter had pledged this on her own accord, so let her do so. After a few days, some relatives came to visit Dr. Sahib, and before leaving, they gave his daughter 15,000 leone. She immediately gave 10,000 leone to Dr. Sahib and said, this is my chanda, which I had pledged. Therefore, Allah has granted utmost sincerity to the Ahmadis and their children living in distant areas, and they understand the importance of making financial sacrifice. Who inspires their hearts to do so? Surely it can't be anyone except for Allah. Yet the blind people of the world cannot see that the promised Messiah has been sent by God the Almighty. You should bear in mind the new converts who are entering the Jamaat are rapidly excelling in the sincerity and devotion. Those old Ahmadis and those families that have been in Ahmadiyyat for a long time need to pay attention towards the spirit of exceeding in virtuous deeds, and they should do so with deep concern. Then our missionary from Congo, Kinshasa, writes that one of the Ahmadi members, Ibrahim Sahib, as a profession trades cattle. Before accepting Ahmadiyyat, the condition of his business was extremely poor and unprofitable. However, after accepting Ahmadiyyat, he started to pay his chanda in accordance with his capacity. Due to the blessings of his financial contribution, the condition of his business improved. Ibrahim Sahib affirms that all this is as a result of his financial sacrifices, which he started to make after entering the fold of Ahmadiyyat. Again, the missionary of Congo, Kinshasa, writes that Mustafa Sahib of Mabanza, Nugungu Jamaat, in the province of Baz, Congo, did the bet, the pledge of initiation, this year in the month of Ramadan. In those days, his sister, who was a Christian, fell seriously ill, and he began to spend a large sum of money for her treatment. In that same month, when he heard the announcement in the mosque for offering financial sacrifice, he contributed towards it and also made a contribution on behalf of his sister, whilst also making a prayer for her health. So thereafter, his sister's health was restored, and Mustafa Sahib said that this is all due to the blessings of the financial sacrifices he had made in the way of God. The Amir, or the President of the Mali Jamaat, writes that one of the Ahmadi members, Muhammad Jara Sahib, was very poor before he started to make financial sacrifices. However, ever since he started to offer his financial sacrifices, his impoverished state has continued to improve. By the grace of God, certain members from Mali have now started to offer extraordinary financial sacrifices. A short time ago, there was a Dawood Salif Sahib, a young man who is a poor carpenter, who initially started to contribute 1,000 franc sifa every week. His work and devotion was blessed so much so that just recently he has made a contribution of 153,000 franc sifa as his financial sacrifice, which amounts to almost £200. By the grace of Allah, the new converts are increasingly inclining towards making financial sacrifices and are doing so with great devotion. Another sincere member of the community is Afana Sahib. Every month he makes a contribution of 153,000 francs, which is approximately £200. These are very large amounts of money in these poor countries. Apart from this, he paid 250,000 francs sifa for zakat, which is approximately £330. By the grace of Allah, his faith and conviction is strengthening. An inspector from Kashmir in India writes that in the recent floods that came in the province of Kashmir, it affected nearly all the Ahmadi homes in the city of Srinagar. The floods that came in September were so deep that they even covered the two-story houses that were situated there. He states that when he arrived in the city of Srinagar during his tour of duty, he was extremely worried that he would be unable to make 100% collection from the Jamaat members of Srinagar, as the situation was such that they were now compelled to live on the rooftops of their homes. The houses were completely filled with mud and were totally in an awful condition. So the inspector Sahib says that whichever house he would go to visit, he would not be able to draw the courage within him to say that he had come to collect their financial contributions. However, he says that upon seeing him, the people would themselves ask about their financial contributions, and he was left astonished that they happily paid their remaining contribution. Despite the great difficulties they were facing, they did not show any signs of annoyance on their face. By the grace of Allah, the budget for Jamaat Ahmadiyya Srinagar was achieved. One is moved to tears after witnessing this sight and is reminded of the time of the companions, may Allah be pleased with all of them, of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who had nothing to eat but would excel one another in making sacrifices. In reality, by looking at the dear community of the promised Messiah, one's faith increases. Our Muallim from Benin writes that a new convert would regularly pay his janda with the intention that Allah the Almighty would enable his family to accept Ahmadiyyat. So he had converted to Ahmadiyyat, but his family had not. He says that he saw in a dream that his entire family had accepted Ahmadiyyat due to the blessings of janda. On the basis of this dream, he was inspired to preach to his family. Before this, he had never used to preach to them, but after this dream, he began to do so. He states that he started to preach to them and would specifically pay his janda for this reason. He says that today I consider it a great honor to say that my entire family has accepted Ahmadiyyat. This is solely because of the blessings of financial sacrifices made in the way of religion. A lady, Shabil Sahiba from the Magoro village in Benin, states, "My state last year was such that whatever business or work I started incurred loss. Nothing would initiate successfully for me. One day the Muallim Sahib drew my attention towards honestly and regularly spending in the way of Allah the Almighty. And so I thought to give this a try and to see what benefit there would be if I honestly paid my janda according to my salary." She says that since I started to regularly pay my janda, my business has started to do well and now there is prosperity in the family, and everything has begun to fall in place. God's promise is true that He gives abundantly to those who spend in His way. Then, staying in India, Inspector Kamuruddin Sahib states that he visited a Jamaat in the province of Kerala at the start of the financial year to make the Waqf-e Jadid budget. He arrived at a Jamaat where he met a 26-year-old young boy who said that he had just completed his studies in interior designing and was now going to start a business with his father. When he was informed about the importance of contributing towards the Waqf-e Jadid scheme, he immediately wrote down 200,000 rupees as his budget and said that he had just started work and God knows how he will manage to pay this. The Inspector Sahib says that he then asked him to write to me, that is Huzur, for prayers and said that he too would write to me, that is Huzur. The Inspector Sahib states that when he returned for the collection, the young boy was pleased to tell him that by the grace of God the Almighty, he had received many contracts from various banks for interior designing, which in turn had greatly blessed his income. He straightaway paid his entire promise of 200,000 rupees. Again from India, the Nazim Mal Waqf-e Jadid writes that the Naib Nazim, deputy head, on his tour of the Uttar Pradesh province for financial collection, met the secretary Mal of Finance of the Kampur Jamaat, Muhammad Farid Anwar Sahib. He had paid his contribution that he had promised for the Waqf-e Jadid scheme, and he invited this Naib Nazim Mal in the evening to his home. When he arrived in the evening, Muhammad Farid Anwar Sahib told him that his 8-year-old daughter had been waiting for him since the last 2 days. Sajila, his daughter, quietly went into her room and after a short while returned with her money box in her hand, which she handed over to this Naib Nazim Mal, and told him that she had been saving money for the whole year to pay a chanda, and that he should take it all and give her the receipt. The money box had 735 rupees in it. The Naib Nazim Mal states that he was astonished to find that she was only an 8-year-old girl, and by the grace of God the Almighty, she is also in the Waqf-e Nau scheme, and she had written her promise for Waqf-e Jadid herself, and then paid more than she had actually pledged. I have also mentioned this before, that who is it that instills this spirit in these children? It is God Almighty alone, who infuses this in the hearts of the children. However, it is also the duty of the parents to maintain a religious environment in their homes, and along with telling them about other virtuous deeds and the worship of God, they should make them aware from time to time of the importance of paying chanda. There are also instances where children brought their chanda and they were told that their father had already given it on their behalf. The children replied that their father would get the reward for whatever he paid, but they wanted to contribute themselves from their own pocket money. Amir Sahib of France states that when a friend was told about the chanda for Waqf-e Jadid, he said that whatever money he had at the time, he gave for chanda. His family members told him to keep some of the money, otherwise how would they pay for their household expenses? He replied that, "I have promised to give this Waqf-e Jadid chanda," and so he was certainly going to pay this, and God Almighty will take care of the household. He states that the following month, he received a letter from the health department, which stated that after consulting his medical report, they have decided to pay him expenses for 2 years and have attached 3 months' payment along with the letter. When he looked at this payment, it was 100 times greater than the amount he had contributed for Waqf-e Jadid. Allah the Almighty, through His grace and mercy, granted the fruits of the financial sacrifice in just 1 month. The secretary, Tariq-e-Jadid, Lajna UK, states that a local Waqf-e Jadid secretary here told her that a lady who was financially very weak and was unable to pay her chanda. However, she still promised to pay whatever amount she possibly could. The lady states that after making her promise, she started praying to God Almighty to enable her to fulfill her promise. This lady is acquainted with sewing, and a few days later she started to receive orders for sewing. Soon after, not only did she have enough money to fulfill her promise, in fact her income also increased, and she was able to promise a much larger amount. I would also like to mention here that mashallah, the UK Lajna, through hard work and resolute determination, have not only met their target, but in fact by the grace of Allah the Almighty, have exceeded well beyond it. Amir Sahib Benin writes that in the northern and central areas of Benin, there is a large number of people living there who belong to the Fulani tribe. In recent years, there have been bayats amongst this tribe. However, three villages belonging to this tribe drifted away soon after the bayat, after experiencing fierce opposition and pressure from the Muslim clergy. A muallim belonging to the Fulani tribe from Burkina Faso was also sent to Benin so that he could gain contact with them again and dispel their misunderstandings. He worked in the area for a month, and with the grace of God the Almighty, the three villages came back into Ahmadiyyat, and their faith was also greatly enhanced. All three villages spent a large sum of money on transport and travelled by buses to attend the Jalsa Salana Benin. After returning back to their villages from the Jalsa, a few days later a mu'allim of the community, the Jamaat, visited their village and relayed to them my message that the new converts should be included in the financial sacrifice scheme, even if they contribute a small amount. And so this is the month of December, which is the last month for the Waqf-e Jadid collection. Amir Sahib Benin says that despite the fact that they had spent a large amount of money on transport for the Jalsa Salana and were also facing financial constraints, however, their faith was so full of passion and zeal that all three villages, immediately after hearing about this, participated in the Waqf-e Jadid scheme. And during this time, approximately 1,000 new beds or conversions were achieved. So these were a few incidents of financial sacrifices about how these people contribute to chanda with such fervency. We have also seen in many of these incidents how God the Almighty returned the sacrifice manifold. Thus He is a God of true promises. While this shows the truth of His word by witnessing and experiencing these incidents for ourselves, it also shows His support and succor for the Jamaat of the Promised Messiah, on whom be peace, no matter where in the world those members may be. In the previous years, I have explained that Hazrat Khalifatul Masih IV expanded the scope of the Waqf-e Jadid scheme beyond Pakistan, especially to cater the needs of India and Africa. Previously, there was not much emphasis given to Waqf-e Jadid outside of Pakistan, but now the money collected from outside Pakistan, particularly Europe and other wealthy countries, is spent in Africa. By the grace of Allah the Almighty, I would at this time like to share a brief overview of the situation in Africa. In 18 countries of Africa, 95 mosques are under construction. Some of these are very large mosques because the Jamaat there is growing and new grounds for tabligh, for preaching, are developing. The promised Messiah has also drawn our special attention towards this and said that wherever you want to introduce Islam and do tabligh, that is to preach, there build a mosque. This work is being carried out in other countries of the world other than Africa. Currently there are around 25 countries, including African countries and 7 other countries, where 204 new mosques and 184 mission houses have been built this year. Around 80% of the Waqf-e Jadeed contributions collected from Europe and other Western countries is spent in Africa, and in spite of the fact that African Ahmadis, by the grace of the Almighty Allah, are making huge financial sacrifices, however, the needs are increasing, as also are the number of conversions. Even though there are more conversions, the new Ahmadis are impoverished and poor, and so they cannot fully meet the expenses, and thus they definitely need help. As mentioned in the incidents, they are making great sacrifices. But the opponents, as described in two of the incidents, tried to put the new Ahmadis under pressure and distance them. Some who are weak do drift away, but then there are many with such strong faith that they don't care for anything else. However, in order to draw attention towards this, I have reminded the Jamaats that after taking the bayt, maintain a constant contact with the new Ahmadis and continue to strengthen these ties constantly. You should constantly and repeatedly visit them so that the Darabiti issues come to light and they can be addressed accordingly. There are a large number of remote areas in African countries where one has to pass through jungles to reach, and there are scarce means of communication, and thus it is immensely difficult to remain in contact with them. For long periods of time, no contact is made with these new Ahmadis or Jamaats for this very reason. There is a shortage of missionaries and Mu'allimeen who could regularly visit such places to establish a regular connection. The difficulty in reaching such regions aside, there are actually insufficient numbers who could even be sent there. That is why, as I have said, there are many conversions that go to waste. Hence, the Jamaats in such countries, especially, should make arrangements to give special attention to the new converts in the first year in particular. This is why in the very first year of this Khilafat, I said to the Jamaats that scores of bayats are being lost, and so contact should be made with at least 70% of the older bayats to bring them back to the fold. With the grace of Allah, the Jamaats made efforts accordingly, particularly in Africa, and when contact was eventually established with them, the new Ahmadis complained that after taking our bayat, we have been left alone. Many were Ahmadis in their hearts, but had not been given further the teachings of Ahmadiyyat, and shortcomings persisted in providing moral and spiritual training, or tadbiyat, to them. In any case, with the grace of Allah, contact was re-established with hundreds of thousands of people who returned, and now an active system to provide tadbiyat has been set up. But this still needs further strengthening. In terms of re-establishing ties and connections, Ghana has made the greatest efforts, followed by Nigeria and then the other African countries. There is a huge shortfall in efforts towards this in Tanzania. Thus, they should endeavor to activate their attempts to re-establish connections. Because it is said that there was a time when a large number of conversions took place there, so all of them must be searched out. 20 years or more previously, when there was upheaval in Bosnia, many Bosnians migrated to Germany. It is said that approximately 100,000 Bosnians took the Bayat, but once they returned to Bosnia, contact with them ceased, and it was unknown where all of these had dispersed to. And so in these countries also, it is essential to reinitiate contact. Similarly, it is said many conversions occurred in West Bengal in India. So there too, ties and contacts need to be re-established. It is when converts are brought into the Chanda scheme that they develop a strong bond. They become resolute in their faith, and they also form a close relationship with the Nizami Jamaat. This is why I said to bring new converts to participate in the Tehreek-e-Jadid and Waqf-e-Jadid schemes. Also make the old Ahmadis realize. There are many Jamaats who are actively engaged in this task and continue to work towards it. However, slackness and laziness still persist prevalently. I have said before that even if one only contributes 10 pence as a sacrifice in the entire year, it should still be collected from them, because it will at least help to establish a relationship with that person. Everyone should understand that they need to offer financial sacrifice. With the grace of Allah, each year the number of people who give financial sacrifice increases, however not as much as it should. For example, there has been an increase of 85,000 contributors to the Waqf-e-Jadid scheme this year. Which is a reflection on the constantly enhancing standard of financial sacrifice in the Jamaat, alhamdulillah, all praise belongs to Allah. However, if greater efforts had been made, and 20% of those who converted last year were made to participate in the scheme, then it should have amounted to an increase of more than 110,000. Thus, although progress continues by virtue of the grace and blessings of Allah, there is still room for further improvement. For the next year, Jamaats will receive new targets in a new format of how to include people in the Waqf-e-Jadid scheme, which will be sent through Wakalat-e-Mal, and full attention should be given towards this. With the grace of the Almighty Allah, I am not worried how we will fulfill all the expenditure. Allah the Almighty will continue to fulfill it according to His promise. What we require is the maximum numbers of people to develop the spirit of sacrifice, and we need to increase these numbers. And so office holders, whilst praying for this, should also make efforts towards it. And generally, other Ahmadis should also maintain this endeavor of re-establishing connections. Righteous among them, as well as those whom God wishes to save, will most definitely return, inshallah. If any have drifted away out of weakness, we certainly have compassion and sympathy for them, in that they attained and then lost God's blessing. At the same time, however, we are completely unconcerned that we are small in numbers. The promised Messiah, on whom be peace, laid greater emphasis on developing righteous people in the Jamaat, laced with sincerity, devotion and loyalty, than on the number of members. Thus the accounts of the new Ahmadis and old Ahmadis increasing in their levels of financial sacrifice divulges and tells us about their sincerity and devotion. Yet, at the same time, we need to make every possible effort to contact those who have detached from the Nizami Jamaat. As I have mentioned that in the Bengal, India, many conversions took place. To assess the situation, a modus operandi should be formed to ascertain the reasons behind why connections with some break off or why those converts drift away. Then, keeping in view the weaknesses that come to light through this assessment, a comprehensive program of tarbiyat and tabliq should be formed. A similar pattern should be adopted in the rest of the world to create a means of maintaining regular ties with anyone entering the Jamaat, even if they live in a very remote area. To maintain these connections is of utmost and paramount importance. May Allah the Almighty enable for all the Jamaats to fulfill this task. As is customary in the first or second Friday of January, I shall now announce the new year of Waqf-e Jadid and present some information from the previous year. The 57th year of Waqf-e Jadid ended on 31st December, filled with the blessings of God the Almighty. And on the 1st of January, heralded the start of the 58th year of Waqf-e Jadid. Last year, the Ahmadiyya Jamaat worldwide was enabled to offer financial sacrifice of £6,209,000, which is an increase of £731,000 from the year before. Alhamdulillah, all praise belongs to Allah. Pakistan remains first. Last year, UK had risen to the first position. After Pakistan, it is the United Kingdom, then the United States, then Germany, Canada, India, and Australia. MashaAllah, a lot of work has been done in Australia as regards increasing contributions as well as increasing the number of contributors. After Australia is Indonesia, Dubai, Belgium, and then an Arab country. In terms of currency, Australia has made a significant increase. As I have said, their increase is 123%. Canada has increased by 21%, and India 16%, or approximately 17%. The United States of America stands first as regards per head contributions with £70 per head, Switzerland at £59 per head, Australia £56 per head, United Kingdom at £51 per head, followed by Belgium, France, Canada and Germany. Germany stands last here amongst these large jamaats. The number of participants in the Waqf-e Jadid scheme has now surpassed 1.29 million. In terms of the increase in contributors, Mali, Benin, Niger, Burkina Faso, Gambia, and Cameroon are worthy of mention. As regards contributions, Ghana came first among African countries, followed by Nigeria and then Mauritius. In Pakistan, as regards adult contributors, as in Pakistan, there are separate categories for adults and children. The top three jamaats are Lahore was first, followed by Rabwa and then Karachi. In terms of the districts, the positions were as follows. Rawalpindi, Faisalabad, Sargodha, Gujranwala, Gujarat, Umargot, Multan, Hyderabad, Bahawalpur and Peshawar. Among Atfal contributions, following were the first three jamaats, Lahore, Rabwa and Karachi. District-wise, the positions in Atfal were Sialkot, Rawalpindi, Faisalabad, Sargodha, Gujranwala, Narowal, Gujarat, Umarkot, Hyderabad and Dera Ghazi Khan. The first 10 large jamaats in the UK in terms of total collections were Birmingham West, Rains Park, Fuzzle Mosque, Gillingham, Worcester Park, Birmingham Central, Wimbledon Park, New Malden, Hounslow North and Cheam. Following were the ranks of the regions in the United Kingdom. London region was first, followed by Midlands, Middlesex, Islamabad, North East and then South. The top five small UK jamaats were Spen Valley, Bromley and Lewisham, Scunthorpe and Wolverhampton. The first 10 jamaats in the United States of America in terms of most collected were Silicon Valley, Detroit, Seattle, York, Harrisburg, Los Angeles, Boston, Central Virginia, Dallas, Houston, and Philadelphia. The positions of the local Jamaats in Germany are, first is Hamburg, then Frankfurt, followed by Grosgoro, Darmstadt, and Wiesbaden. The top 10 Jamaats in Germany collection-wise are Rudermark, Neuss, Nidda, Florisheim, Cologne, Freiburg, Koblenz, Mediabad, Fulda, and Heidenheim. The first 10 ranked large Jamaats in Canada were Edmonton, Durham, Milton, Georgetown, Saskatoon South, and Saskatoon North. In India, the following regions were prominent: Kerala, Jammu Kashmir, Tamil Nadu, Andhra Pradesh, West Bengal, Orissa, Karnataka, Qadian, Punjab, Uttar Pradesh, Maharashtra, Bihar, Lakshti, and Rajasthan. The top Jamaat in India collection-wise were first Kerala, followed by Calicut, Hyderabad, Calcutta, Qadian, Kannur Town, Solibangadi, Chennai, Bangalore, and the three Jamaats are at the end, Karunugapalli, Patraprayan, and Karan. In Australia, the first 10 Jamaats were Blacktown at first, followed by Melbourne, Mount Druitt, Adelaide, Marsden Park, Brisbane, Canberra, Perth, Tasmania, and Darwin. May Allah immeasurably bless the persons and the wealth of all who are making financial sacrifices. At the end, I would also like to draw attention towards a prayer. Pray especially for Ahmadis in Pakistan. For the past few days, our opponents are really trying to create problems in Rabwa. May God protect every Ahmadi from their evil and mischief, and may He rebound the evil back on them. And may Rabwa's peace and security be maintained. May God also give sense to the authorities and to the government to control the situation properly and in the correct manner. Similarly, prayers should also be made for Muslims living in the world and in Europe. An atrocity and grave injustice has taken place in France. In the name of Islam and the Holy Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, although it did not have anything even remotely to do with the teachings of Islam. As we always maintain and prove, that to take the law in one's hand and to kill and murder someone in this manner has nothing to do with the teachings of Islam. Yet, so-called Muslims and Muslim organizations do not desist from their misdemeanors and atrocities. As a result, Muslims living here in Europe and in Western countries could face an inappropriate backlash from the local people. Not only that, but in fact the publication whose editors and others were brutally murdered could react as well as with others. And the rest of the press also. And they may wrongly attack the person of the Holy Prophet, may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. May God enable the governments here to try and contain people from erroneous reactions. May they apprehend the perpetrators and punish them according to the law. If there is an inappropriate backlash, Muslims who have no one to guide them will also react in an erroneous manner. And thus disorder and strife will continue to take its hold. and there is danger it may escalate. Today it is the duty of members of the Ahmadiyya Muslim Jamaat to pray for both sides to desist from their excesses and cruelties. Similarly, give heed to reciting Durood Sharif, invoking blessings and salutations upon the Holy Prophet, in abundance during these days. Those who can help to practically create a peaceful environment within the spheres of influence should make efforts towards doing so. May Allah the Almighty save the world from a state of anarchy, and may the disorder and strife rapidly transform into a state of peace.
Alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayhi wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله عباد الله رحمكم الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل واللسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم وادعوه يستجب لكم ولذكر الله